All right, this morning we continue in Philippians 1, going back through that first paragraph, Paul's prayer of thanksgiving and confident prayer of thanksgiving and praise to God. This morning I want to look specifically at verse 6. We covered verse 6 a while ago, but I want to come back to it in the context now of this letter that Paul has written to the church in Philippi. Excuse me. So just one verse this morning, let me read it for us. Of course, this also is the very word of the living God. Paul writes, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." As we come before His Word, let's again turn to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing now upon this part of our time of worship, where we come before your Word, and we ask that you would speak to us through it this morning, that you would fulfill your promise, that your Word goes out and does not return to you empty, but accomplishes everything that you purpose for it, and is successful in the things for which you send it. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we might see and hear what you have for us this morning, and that your word might become a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, that we might walk according to its ways. Father, we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. I was reminded this week of one of the characters from the old Saturday Night Live, or not the old Saturday Night Live, but a while ago, Phil Hartman. Used to do this series of characters that were very obsessed, very obsessive compulsive. I don't want to use the term that they use there, here this morning. Different characters in different shows, all named Gene. Gene was good at many things. Gene would have a show, it was on PBS, theoretically. He'd come on and say, "Well, today we're going to build something. Gene the Carpenter." Another show would come on and he'd be Gene the crafts expert, and they'd make some crafts, or Gene the painter. The best one, though, was Gene the chef. Gene the chef comes on and says, "We're going to make whatever." I don't even remember what it was in that particular show. But I know it involved a green bell pepper cut into identical shaped and sized pieces, 37. Precisely 37 identical pieces. As he introduces the show, he says, "And just to get things started, I've already done that here for us, and here they are in the bowl here this morning. Oh, wait. This one's a little wrinkled. We'll just put that one aside. Oh, and this one's too small. We'll take that. Well, you know what? Let's just start over. And how do we dispose of refuse?" And he goes through this elaborate process. Two paper towels still connected. The pile of green peppers in one, folded over, placed in foil, which is also folded over and crimped all around, because we don't want any juice to get out, placed in a paper bag, folded over, with tape, one in the middle. Now that's refuse we can live with. So, there's a little moisture here. Let's just wipe that up. And now that I think about it, this stovetop could really use a lick and a polish too. And he goes on and on and on about all these other things. He never gets around to actually cooking whatever meal it was. He was going to cook. The obsessive, compulsive chef. Hilarious, if you ever watch it. Never gets around to finishing what he started. Gene, the compulsive chef. And it's funny because that obsessive compulsive character is distracted easily by things that need cleaning, tools that need fixing, something that needs sharpening, putting away things just the right way. He gets distracted, and he gets distracted easily. We also tend to easily get distracted and forget things that we're doing and not finish them. There's also something else, completely different realm, that I was reminded of. I think I heard it on the radio. choral piece, a classical choral piece by Mendelssohn, part of an oratorio about Elijah the prophet. The words go something like this: "He watching over Israel slumbers not nor sleeps." Sung at this time of year often, and it's just repeated over and over by the choir. "He watching over Israel slumbers not nor sleeps." What a contrast. Gene, the obsessive, compulsive, perfectionist, hyper-clean chef, cook, painter, whatever, carpenter, God, who never slumbers, never sleeps, never gets distracted, his plans do not get disrupted, he finishes what he starts. I read Genesis 1 this morning as an example of that. God created the world, and it was good on day 1, and it was good on day 2, and good on day 3, and so on until day 6, he finishes all the work of creation, creates man in his own image, and says, "It is very good." He was done, and he rested on the seventh day. God is not distracted. His plans don't go awry. He finishes what he starts. That's the idea behind Paul's confident statement in Philippians verse 6. "I am sure of this." Being convinced of this. "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." What's special about this isn't the work of creation, as magnificent as that is. It's not God making a meal. It's not God fixing a cabinet. It's not God painting a picture. God's working on us. God's working on his very own people. And Paul looks at that. He sees God at work. He sees the evidence of that in the Philippian people. He's experienced their generosity, their care for him. And he's confident that what he sees that has begun will be completed. And he's thankful and he's happy, full of joy. Again, we looked at this back in April, part of a series on the fullness of salvation. I looked at it through kind of the lens of Westminster Confession Chapter 17, a little bit more technical approach to it. This morning I just want to look at the verse. What does the verse tell us? What does it say? And look at it in three ways. The worker who's doing the work. We'll talk about that first. The timing of the work, because there's a timing aspect of things here. And then finally the work itself. Who's doing the work? The timing of it, when it happens, and the work itself. So the worker, fairly obvious, he who began a good work in you, Paul's referring to God. And that's fairly obvious. There's really no question about that. Paul begins back in verse 3, "I thank my God in all my remembrances of you." So God is the context, the beginning, the foundation of this prayer. And so when he says he is sure that he who began a good work will complete it, he's referring to God. And I don't think there's any real question about it. This is the God of Scripture. It's the God who does not change, in whom there is no shadow of turning. This is the God that we've talked about, who, when he makes promises, fulfills them himself. He does the work. And when he does the work, he finishes the work. He doesn't leave it undone. Again, going back to creation itself, that amazing, incredible work of God speaking and everything coming into existence. 6 days, all things created. All things very good. So God doesn't just finish things, but he finishes them well. It wasn't just he got done with the work of creation. When it was done, it was very good. What God finishes, he also finishes well. He didn't just rescue the Israelites from Egypt and then say, "All right, figure out your own way." He brought them out of the land of slavery and brought them into a land of safety, overflowing with milk and honey, with cities already built, with vineyards already planted. When God does a work, He does it well. This is the God that Paul is talking about. This is the God who will complete the good work that He's already begun in the Philippians. And when He does it, He will complete it well. This is the God of creation, of Exodus. The God who we just saw confronting Job out of the whirlwind, the powerful God. And that same God that's at work in the Philippians, that Paul sees, is the same God that's at work in you and in me today, day by day in our lives. The same good work, which we'll talk about, the work itself in a minute, that same good work begun in the Philippians has begun in you. And He will complete that same work in you as well. He will complete it, and He will complete it well. And it will be very good. You're not doing the work. I'm not doing the work. Look what Paul doesn't say. The work I began in you, back when I met those women by the river, back when I converted the Philippian jailer. He doesn't say I began the work. He doesn't say they began the work that you began in sending me these gifts and doing these things for me. The work that God began, He will complete. And He will complete it fully, and He will complete it well. Well, that's fairly straightforward, I think. God is the one doing the work. But the timing of it is, I think, an interesting part of this verse as well. It's a work that's already begun, for one thing. It's a work that will be completed, he says, at the day of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's a work that's in process. It's in process right now. It was in process for the Philippians then. It's in process for us now as well. So it's a work begun. The good work really is begun in salvation. This is a work of salvation, the whole of salvation, and we have to ask, when did God begin that work? Well, technically, He began it outside of time, in eternity, when He chose us. But when did He begin that work in us? Because that's how Paul puts it. He who began a good work in you. When did God begin that work in you? Well, when He sent the Holy Spirit to regenerate you, to turn your hearts to repentance and faith. The work begun in us is the work of conversion, the work that we pray for, it seems like we pray for someone almost every week, someone we know, not just that their body would be healed, but that they would be converted, that they would be confronted by the gospel. May that good work begin in them, is what we're praying for. Paul says that good work has begun in you. The work of salvation. And we know it's God's work. Go back to Ephesians 1 and 2 and read those. While still dead in our trespasses, we were made alive with Christ, raised up with Him, given the gift of faith so that none of us could boast. It's God's work, and it's God's work in us. That's what Paul's referring to. That work of conversion begun in us by God. Let me skip to the end. The work completed. Paul is confident that this work begun will be completed. And it will be completed at the day of Jesus Christ. What is that day? Again, this is not a terribly difficult verse to flesh out. The day is when Christ returns. The day of Jesus Christ, he says. His return, his visible return at the end of all things to judge, to usher in the new heavens and the new earth, when the dead in Christ rise and live with Him eternally in the new heavens and the new earth, work and serve and worship Him. That's when God will complete His work in us, in that day. And Paul is confident of this, he says, because of the character of God, because who He is and what He's done in the past. Confident of this because of what God has promised elsewhere in His letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, the great chapter on the resurrection. Look at verses 20 to 23 later this afternoon when you have some time as you rest from your labors. 15, 20 to 23. This is Paul's argument there. Christ has risen, he says, so all in him will be raised as well. Christ is the first fruits. How does this work? Well, because by man came death, so also by man comes resurrection from the dead. Which men? In Adam all die. In Christ, all are made alive. And then he says, each in order. Christ the first fruits, that's already happened. And then at his coming, those who are found and belong to him. That's a promise. The work completed is when we rise bodily from the grave and join our Savior for all of eternity. His resurrection is the first fruit of that. Ours is the abundance of that fruit. If you've ever had a fruit tree or a fruit plant in your yard, you look for that first good fruit. Because you know when that first good fruit comes, a lot more is coming. The cherry tree in our backyard when I was a kid, we'd taste them as they started to grow. First few are usually sour. The first good fruit, tons of them. And we'd sit up in that tree and eat them for hours. And we had to rake up the leaves and pits and stuff later. That's how it is with us. Christ is the first fruit. We also will be raised from the dead, alive, and live with him. So it's a work that's begun. It's a work that will be completed in a glorious, tremendous way. But for now, it's a work in process. That's where the fun is, so to speak. And so that actually leads to the work itself. As God continues to mold us and create us and fashion us into the image and likeness of Christ, our Savior. Now, we've talked about that. That's what that whole almost year-long sermon series was about, the fullness of salvation, this process, this thing that God does in saving us. So to cover it in the last bullet point of one sermon is a little bit challenging. But let me focus on just a few things this morning. It's a work begun. It's a work that will be completed for all who put their faith and hope and trust in Christ as Savior, who have repented and believed. We will be raised from death. We will live eternally with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. So now, what are we involved in? What's going on? Well, God is slowly sanctifying us, slowly but surely peeling away sin and building us up in holiness in Christ. God makes us more and more aware of our sin. And more disgusted with our sin. This is one of the things we look for in true conversion, in true faith. It takes time. It takes years sometimes. But as our awareness of sin grows, as our disgust for our own sin grows, our desire to turn away from it grows as well. Again, it's part of the reason we have confession every Sunday, is an opportunity to once again turn away from our own sin. And at the same time God is doing that work in us, he instructs us in holiness, what it means to live like a Christian, what it means to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. All the things that we talk about when we talk about the living of the Christian life, to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, the two great commandments. This imitation of Christ is something we're not capable of doing on our own. We know that. So we need the presence. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We of all people should be Pentecostals. I use that in quotes. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit is vital for the Christian life so that we can understand God's Word and then be empowered to actually do it. As our awareness of what holiness is grows, our desire for that grows as well. Our disgust for one grows, our desire for the other grows at the same time. And we struggle, and we've talked about this too, Romans 7, my goodness, we're painfully aware of this. The things I know I should do, I don't do. The things I know I shouldn't do, I do. Who can rescue me from this? Christ. And he does, slowly, slowly, slowly but surely. We get distracted, but he always brings us back. We get sidetracked, but we persevere. God is changing us from what we were into something new. That's why I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians 6 this morning. Those words of Paul are very powerful in that passage. Some of you were this, but now you have been washed, sanctified, justified. You are a new people. Question to think about this morning, is this you? Well, if you're a believer, yes, it is. Some of you are farther along the path. Some of us are farther behind on the path. It's different for each one of us depending on our time with Christ, our growth in the faith, our maturity. But it's also just different issues of sin as well. Different personalities, different people, different contexts. But Paul is confident that the work will be completed. And you should be confident as well. God will complete that work in your life. And you can probably see it if you think about it. And I want to challenge you to think about that this week and in the coming weeks. How is God working in you? Look at your own life. What is God changing in you? Some of us need to be more patient. Some of us need to be less patient. Some of us need to be more kind. Some of us need to stand up and have a backbone every now and then. Some of us need to be more empathetic. Some of us need to look at the facts more frequently. More hardworking, more diligent, more faithful in keeping our promises, less judgmental of others, less addicted to the sins of the flesh, whatever they might be, lust, sex, food, drink, alcohol, drugs, whatever it might be. But not just the sins of the flesh, the sins of the spirit and of the heart as well. More truthful, less greedy, more content with our lot in life, less anxious, less full of worry, less fearful, more confident and courageous in the Lord. And I can guarantee you, as you think about these things, you who have walked with Christ for any period of time can look back on your life and say, I am not who I was. And I can also guarantee this with Paul. You are not who you will be 5 years from now. God is changing each and every one of us. For some of us, it's slow and frustrating. It's so frustrating after you have sinned to look back and go, why did I do that? Why was it so attractive? It's so stupid. It's so dumb. And yet we go back. God is at work, and you will see it. The God who created the world is creating you, making you into a new person. We could read from Colossians. He's remaking us in the image of God, righteousness and holiness and knowledge. The God of the Exodus, who rescued his people, has rescued us, not just away from sin, but to something better. The God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will do the same for us. This is the God at work in you. The God at work in me. And he will complete it. Frustrated now? Of course. Lack of progress now? Yes. Welcome to the club. But don't despair. Paul is right. And we need to embrace the same attitude that he has, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. God has promised this. God will do it. And again, may that day come quickly. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have made such wonderful promises to us and for us. May we not look to our own strength, our own wisdom, as limited as both are, for the completion of holiness in us. But may we always learn to lean upon and trust in you, that you are doing this work in us. And may we strive to be faithful in pursuing these things in the strength that you provide, knowing, as Paul would say elsewhere, that he can do all things and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you for that. Pray for its evidence in our lives and look forward to its completion. Again, may that come quickly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.